Donovan squatted beside Christy and gently peeled her eyelid back.
How are you feeling?
Like I'm just short of catching the last train headed for the coast. I can't seem to sit up.
Don't bother. Stay where you are. You still hearing the woman's voice?
Louder all the time. I can hardly keep her away these past few days.
Well, you keep holding her back. Keep eating your soup and work on saving your strength. We'll see you clear of this.
Can you get her out of my head?
Not me. But I know someone who can.
Ryan and Donovan returned to the prow, where Donovan lit and sucked on his pipe, streaming fragrant smoke.
Have you seen this before?
Twice. Both of them were women who'd come up on chosen members with death rattling in the backs of the throats. One of them was a gaudy slut over in Taylorville, south and east of here. Gaudy slut had slit the throat of one of the chosen, and she got her mind grafted for her trouble.
Grafted?
Chosen's term. That's what they call it. They'd only started exploring a lot of their mind skills right before Skydark.
Huh. In the totality concept?
What do you know about the totality concept?
I'm not here to say what I know. I want to know what you know.
But if you can add to our store of knowledge about the totality concept...
That's not what I'm here to do.
How much do you know about the Heimdall Foundation? I talked with Elmore. He said you knew some of it.
No.
I can be as tight-lipped about what I know about the Chosen.
That's not a game you want to play with me. I saved your ass back there. Now I'm saving your boat. The way I see it, the scales here are way out of balance.
But you do know something.
Something, but not what you're looking for. All I've heard is that the Heimdall Foundation's got an idea that Skydark was brought about by aliens from another world.
ETs, extraterrestrials. We know a little bit about the totality concept. There was supposed to have been a division called Department 13, we think. It made some kind of contact with an alien race.
And you believe that?
Enough that I've given my life over to finding out whether it's true.
Waste of time.
What makes you say that?
If we'd had some kind of ETs here, you'd have known about them before now.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that.
You ever seen an alien?
Of course not. If we had, there wouldn't be such a desperate need to know.
Then how can you believe in them?
I want to believe.
Friend I used to know had a saying, want in one hand and shit in the other. See which one gets fullest first.
Whether you're ready to deal with it or not, Ryan, it happened. The world was on the brink of an alien invasion, and it was them who started the nuke cost that blew up the world.
I don't give a good goddamn about that. I'm here now, and I got my own problems. I want to know what we're going to do about Christy.
There's someone I can send for. I've got a lot of friends in out-of-the-way places.
What's this friend going to do?
We'll have to see. First, we get my boat to shore and set up camp for the night. And you and I have got some more dickering to do.
About what?
About what you're gonna do for helping me get your lady friend's ass out of the sling it's in.
I saved your life. I saved your boat. You owe me big time.
Look, Ryan. That's one of the Chosen dancing around in your woman's head. You can't save her and she can't save herself. She's knocking on death's door right now. I don't know how she hasn't gone under before now, but she hasn't. Maybe she still has a chance. But to give her that chance, I'm gonna have to call in a marker that's owed me. Maybe give one back that's gonna be pure hell to pay. And I'm the one that's gonna have to pay it back.
Ryan glared at the man, not trusting himself to speak. But he knew Donovan was right. He didn't know the price the man was going to have to pay. And Ryan was willing to pay whatever price was asked. It was a seller's market.
If you could have done something, you'd have done it before now. All you've got left is the best you can do.
They put into the riverbank just before dark descended on the mountainous terrain the stream cut through. Ryan ordered everyone off Junie, including Morse and his sons. Then he established a watch rotation among the companions. The Heimdall Foundation people spread out along the bank, making do with the sodden camp gear packed aboard Calypso. Donovan organized his people, setting up a work team to continue pumping the boat out during the night. Ryan wasn't happy about the lanterns the work team operated by. Even within the below decks of the boat, the soft yellow light diffused over the dark landscape and was reflected in the stream. But he knew they had no choice if they were going to save the boat. Left untended, the boat would have sunk to the bottom of the stream where they anchored. Donovan also put out hunting teams, and Jack and Dean volunteered to go with them, anxious to get away from Junie's confines. At first, Ryan was reluctant to let them go. Allowing them away from the group put them at risk of being taken captive or killed by the Heimdall Foundation people. But the boys were able to take care of themselves, and Ryan knew he was going to have to trust Donovan at some point if he was going to save Christy. Donovan's motivation did seem to be purely about saving his boat. Besides, if things got out of hand at the campsite, there were always the explosives JB had been secretly working on during the journey. Ryan and Donovan stood below decks in Calypso, in waist-high water, as Donovan shone a bullseye lantern around the interior of the sailboat.
You never said what your cargo was.
Piece of a space station that had come down a few months ago.
Shostakovich's anvil?
You know about it?
Saw it myself.
Where were you?
In the Smoke Creek Desert. Big piece of it went down.
Yeah, the space station broke up somewhere over that area.
You ever recover any pieces of the space station?
Not there. We sent teams in, but no one ever found an impact area. We figured Mutis carried it off. Some of them seem to have an affinity for pre-dark tech. They can't use it and don't seem to understand it, but they worship it all the same. Recovered some nice pieces from them over the years. The piece of Shostakovich's anvil that I was carrying came over from what used to be Washington State. The people tracking the space station's breakup charted it, then traded with a bunch of scavengers who'd located it. I was making the final haul with it back to the Heimdall Foundation when the river pirates jumped me.
That piece I saw fall? Where it landed, it would take a mighty determined man to get it out.
Where was that?
You get Christy back to herself. I'll tell you.
Ryan and Donovan returned to the campsite in time for food. Ryan sat on the other side of a campfire from Donovan. He stroked Christy's hair. She'd insisted on coming to sit by the campfire with him, but hadn't been able to remain awake. He missed talking to her, missed the way she was able to help him keep his thoughts all untangled. It felt as though he had knots in his head now. The Heimdall Foundation man lounged back against a tree that had been felled to provide firewood. Doc held a thin branch with a piece of turkey meat on the end, browning in the campfire. All of them had eaten big meals, mixing the self-heats from the stores of both boats, as well as the meat the hunting party had brought back.
A couple days' work should see us clear of most of the damage. We can even do most of it while we're being towed. Troy tells me he's managed to save one of the gasoline-powered bilge pumps, and it'll be working come morning. With the hand cranker you've let us borrow, we should be able to make a real move on getting Calypso dry. I've got men to cut new timbers that'll serve us till we can put it in dry dock back at the foundation.
How big is the foundation?
Big. Other than that, I'm not going to say too much. We've survived this long by keeping our secrets secret.
Of course, my dear fellow. But having some interests in the scientific research area myself, I find myself intensely curious.
Well, maybe someday you'll get up to the foundation and have a look for yourself.
Mayhap I will. Ryan has told me you're aware of some of the ramifications of the totality concept.
Sure. What areas were you most interested in?
Why, the experiments regarding...
No.
Have I spoken out of turn?
The man's leading you on, Doc, wanting to find out how much you know.
Surely there can be no harm in telling him some of what we've found out.
Another time.
So, you have the location of Shostakovich's anvil and even more information about the totality concept.
For trade. Once Christy is back on her feet.
Ryan said you'd known of two other cases like this.
That's right. Both of them involving Chosen who were a flat minute from being chilled. They put their personality into other people, forced them to do the things they wanted them to.
Which was?
Return to the Chosen.
But they didn't get there.
No. A family held the first woman, hoping something good would come of it that maybe the personality would wither away. The other one was a gaudy slut. She was put in jail because she went crazy and chilled the man she was working for.
What happened to them?
Not much. Took them a couple of weeks. They both died.
From the way Christy moved against him, Ryan knew Christy hadn't been completely asleep after all. She'd heard Donovan's story. With the bilge pumps both operating and with crews to use them, Calypso was riding higher in the stream by mid-morning. The wind came in from the west, northwest, and pushed them even faster to the east. Calypso was able to use her sails to lighten the strain as well, enabling them to achieve greater speed. Ryan put Jack on watch in the crow's nest aboard Calypso. He had the sharpest eyes of all the companions, and Ryan trusted him more than anyone in the Heimdall Foundation's ranks. Ryan, Doc, and Donovan were going over area maps, some of them Ryan had noticed from the pre-dark, and some that looked handmade. JB, with Mildred at his side, dropped a bucket into the stream and hauled it up near Ryan. He stuck a hand into it and pulled it back out, tasting the water drops on his fingers.
Fresh and good. Can't taste any chems.
Let me taste. Damn, it's as good tasting as it is pretty. This water's pure, clean, and healthy, not like the sludge pumping through that river we left.
Comes down out of the mountains. Gotta catch it early in the spring when the snows melt.
Usually the snows are fouled as well.
I know, but this tributary and a few others like it are virgin pure. Problem is, if you don't get it early enough, it peters out during the hot part of the summer. There's times in July and August that this stream bed isn't more than a foot or two deep. Hard to believe, considering we're in about 20 to 25 feet of water right now. Actually, only part of this water may come from snowmelt. Some of the researchers at the Foundation think it has something to do with a fluctuating water table in this area as well. Everything has to be working in accordance to get the water this way.
An artesian well system. Underground springs that are fed from the snowmelt, then filter out the impurities through strata before passing the water on.
Maybe. I do know if we don't get a full ration of water in the spring, the Foundation struggles for the rest of the year.
How do you get it?
You dam up the stream. Lock it up for 2-3 months, however long it takes, then release it, forcing it to go in the direction we want it to.
You reconfigure this stream?
We have to.
Why not just build the Foundation near the stream?
Logistics. If they built the Foundation on the river, it'd be more likely to be found. So they built it somewhere better secluded and pulled the water in.
What did you use to dam the stream?
Timbers, rock. It's not watertight, but it allows us to build up the water supply.
And there's still this much water left over?
Yeah. Gotta be real careful about dam building. Don't try to hold back enough and we run short of water. Try to hold back too much, dam breaks down and we run even shorter of water and maybe get some folks chilled for their trouble. I've seen it work out both ways. The trick is to get it just right.
Later, Ryan held Christy in his arms as he sat against the railing. He felt her shake in his embrace, as though she had a chill. He wrapped the blanket he'd gotten for her more tightly about her. The terrain had definitely turned more mountainous. He couldn't remember reading if it had always been that way, or if the present landscape was the direct result of the new cost and all the earth pounders. Spruce and fir dotted the mountaintops, spilling into thick forests below.
This is beautiful country, lover.
Yeah, nice to look at.
Make me a promise, lover.
What?
If I die somewhere up in this rough country.
You're not gonna die.
Christy took Ryan's hand.
If I should die up here, promise me that if you're able, you'll find me a gravesite up in those mountains and leave me there to rest.
Ryan couldn't speak around the hard knot lodged in his throat.
If you can't say it, lover, it's all right. Just nod.
Ryan gave her a single, tight nod. But it was more than an agreement with her. It was an acknowledgement that he might have come this far, only to fail. The stream narrowed increasingly, finally getting down to something less than 30 feet across. It held steady at a depth of 15 feet, plenty of room for the boats to pass. By early evening, they'd entered a canyon area that reached between 40 and 60 feet above the stream. Ryan glanced up at the high-walled rock, cool in the shadows that stretched out over him. Less than a quarter mile in, the canyon rounded out, forming a natural cistern that had to have been 100 feet across. It was a natural harbor site for boats, protected from the wind and most of the elements. Besides the channel they'd followed up from the Jefferson River, Ryan noted three other channels on the north side of the cistern. Streams followed each one of those as well. The dam blocked the stream directly in front of them. It was huge, constructed of timbers 15 feet across, and stacked over 100 feet tall. Groups of men worked near the top, laying in new logs cut to fit. Scanning up the dam, Ryan admitted that Donovan was speaking the truth. Even though it was dammed, the stream leaked water between the timbers, spilling, twisting, and lunging strings and sprays of water that splattered against the flat surface of the cistern pool below. Doc gawked up at the construction.
By the three Kennedys.
Dark night.
It can be pretty impressive to look at. I don't think I'll ever get used to them, even after all the ones I've built.
How many have you built?
This is my 9th year as construction chief. We're still a couple of weeks from having it full, but we're getting there.
Pirates not come here?
No. Although this year they've come farther upriver than I'd ever expected. The area where you found me gets real dangerous. Lots of tributaries feed into the Jefferson, bringing all kinds of scavenging material. Trouble is, the river's so forceful at times in that area that it can send something through a boat. And you get a lot of chop. The small watercraft the pirates use would break up when the water's really rough.
They've never been here?
No. But then again, they've never been working for Barbarossa before.
Who's Barbarossa?
Leader of the pirates. Until this spring, I'd never seen so many pirates working together. I saw him yesterday, though. There was no doubt he was in charge.
What changed things?
Barbarossa went after the pocket groups. He took them over, then proved it was worth their time to stay with him. Evidently, he's gotten even more aggressive about consolidating the other water scavengers around here. I didn't expect what I ran into yesterday.
He's got all those gasoline-powered craft. Where's he getting the fuel?
This is Montana territory. There's a lot of mineral resources around here. If you know where to look, you can find places where gasoline's been stockpiled. A few other places manufacture their own. There's coal mines in operation too, and slavers operate those.
And the Chosen live here too?
Some of them. Enough of them.
A shanty town of tents and semi-permanent lean-tos crowded the narrow ledge on the south side of the cistern. A few plants and trees grew along the stony soil where the campsite was, and even fewer sprouted from the steep incline leading to the mountains above. Morse cut the sails, aiming both boats into the pier that extended out into the cistern.
How deep's the water here?
40, 50 feet.
Hot pipe, Dad! Come look at this! The water's so clear you can see the fish!
So you can. Trout, whitefish, grayling. I'm impressed.
There's no shortage of game here. Besides the fishing, there's also moose, goat, elk, deer, bighorn, sheep, and antelope. You want bird? You got your choice between pheasant, duck, and grouse. One thing about this cistern, it attracts wildlife. A man doesn't go hungry unless he's too lazy to go hunt it down or fish for it.
How many people do you have here?
Probably about 60. We lost 7 men when the pirates boarded Calypso yesterday. Anyone want to set foot on dry land?